Welcome in, everybody, to this week's Five Aside, a very special Five Aside.
We are covering
the women's game, specifically the She Believes Cup that is coming up here this weekend in Atlanta, Georgia. That voice that you just heard is a woman who practices a little too much self-harm. It is Kristen Clark.
Hey, you act like I did it on purpose. It was entirely because if I wanted to get out of this, I would have just said, "Hey guys, I have food poisoning," you know, and that would be a lot easier than actually slamming my own finger shut in a car door, which I have officially done. But I'm fine. I'm here. Hey, I'm here.
Bless your heart.
I'm here.
Oh. Also joining tonight, our resident glitter queen and travel guru, Jennifer Taylor. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, what's happening, Hostoff?
And also tonight, oh, this is going to be a pod. Yeah. Two women making their podcasting debut on this pod, and I think maybe any pod?
Ever?
I think. First up, a woman who always has her back to goal, the best capo in the game. It is Angel Whitworth.
Hey, hello, Angel. Everybody.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Also joining tonight, a woman who arguably has one of the best views in the whole city. The cityscape behind her, y'all can't see this. It's incredible.
That's nice.
Shannon Celeste. Hi, Shannon.
Hey, Glenn. How's it going? How y'all?
Good. All righty. So, She Believes. Atlanta's having a moment here, and we've been having a moment for a while. It's pretty incredible where we've come from. I moved here in 2012. Mm-hmm. None of this was going on.
You're so late.
I know. I'm very late. I am not an original Atlantan. I'm not an original ATLian. But from when I've been here, and y'all can all probably speak to this even more because you guys have been here even longer, I believe, where we've come in just the past 10 years to not having any club to now having, you know, Atlanta United. Now we've got national teams coming here. Now we've got the women's national team. Now we've got a women's pro soccer team coming and maybe a new one starting up in Roswell. I try not to take it for granted. I think we do that a lot. I know I do that a lot with what's going on here. Oh, it's Atlanta. This is what we do.
I think we should rename ourselves Frank DeBoer's Spoiled Brat Brigade.
Little inside joke for all the Atlanta United fans out there. But it's incredible what's happening here. This weekend is going to be incredible. Maybe even record-breaking. We're a few thousand tickets away. I'm sure Uncle Arthur is not going to let that pass. Someone will buy the requisite number of tickets to get us past the record of 49,000, I believe it is, 49.5 for a non-World Cup, non-Olympic game here.
I think this really speaks volumes to, you know, as you said, to where we are as a city that, you know, if you ask somebody 10 years ago, you know, is Atlanta a sports town? Is Atlanta a soccer town? I think the answer would have been a resounding no. What are you even thinking?
Well, that was a two-parter. Was Atlanta a sports town? Absolutely. Was Atlanta a soccer town? And were we? No. And were we a sports town used to winning? No. Because that's very important to remember that it had been 20-some-odd years since any sports team, any professional sports team had brought home a championship. It took Atlanta United to do it.
There was, when I moved here in the 80s, but even as far as to the year 2000, there was one place that showed soccer on television and it was the Brew House.
Shout out Brew House Cafe.
And that's where everybody went to watch the World Cup. That was in soccer. That's where everybody went to watch the couple of Premier League games that you could see on television, which was usually a Manchester United or like the bigger teams.
Right.
That I recall, because that's where I used to go. But it has come leaps and bounds, and it's fantastic to see. And now the women are getting their shot here, and I'm super excited about it.
And that's why we're here tonight. I'm super excited that everybody is doing this. There's not enough female voices in the game, both on the pitch and off. So we're really happy to be able to provide that a little bit. You know, we are one of the few podcasts out there that has, I'm outnumbered. Severely. Every weekend. And happily so. And
happily tonight as happily well.
So. We're subtitling tonight's episode, the one where we women-splain Glenn.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm largely going to be quiet tonight and kind of let y'all talk a bit about, you know, the history of the game, of our domestic league, a little bit over in Europe, and the history of the She Believes Cup, how it got its start, and where we're at now with it. So, Jennifer, who wants to dive into kind of the brief history, you know, as you have been saying on our supporter group shows, the 5 or 10 minute drunk history, a shortened version of
the 2 minute drunk history.
Yes.
So
of the women's game.
Yeah. The 2 minute drunk history of the women's game. Kat, I know you took the lead on doing a little bit of research on this. Where did we come from?
A lot of people don't even really know the actual ancient history of the game of soccer. It was actually, some of it actually originated in China in, I think the year, it was like CE 210, something around there. It was a game called Suchu, and it was just basically where you had a round object on the ground and you would pass it around to each other. And women were largely encouraged to be involved in that because it was part of their calisthenics. So the women have always sort of been involved in it. But as we know it, as the game of soccer, the first, actual match was played in 1881 in Hibernian Park in Edinburgh, Scotland. And then the first women's match was recorded in 1892. So it's always been, you know, we were there, the women's game was there from the beginning. But then in Europe, in England and in the FA, and all of women's soccer was banned in 1921. By the FA, because they didn't think that that soccer was suitable for members, for females who ought, and it ought not to be encouraged. That is an actual quote. Ought not to be encouraged.
Those indeed. Damn Victorians and their ideas of family values.
Yeah. Ugh. So then during the 1970s, Italy became one of the first countries to actually have a professional women's football on a part-time basis. They were the first country to import footballers from other European countries to come and play in their league, which was really cool.
Shout out Italy. All right.
And then also sometime in 1985, the United States women's national soccer team was formed. But also in the 80s, in places like Korea and in some of the Asian countries, they actually formed some of the first semi-professional women's leagues. But again, this is all semi-professional. None of it was largely sanctioned by their countries or by their states because it was women's soccer or women's football rather. So following 1999 FIFA, the World Cup, obviously, which brought a huge, it brought a huge following to the game of women's soccer, especially in the US.
It's one of those moments where
we had a pro league in like the mid 80s to the late 90s before.
That's right. That was the United States women's national soccer team. And it wasn't until 1990 after 1999 when it gained all of the super popularity is really all I was getting at.
Okay.
And,
but that eventually folded, correct? That was the WPSL?
That's correct. Yeah.
Women's Professional Soccer League.
Yeah, sorry about that. My notes got jumbled up there. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong dates. sorry. This is what it comes, you know, this is live for you people. This is, you know, I had all this shit written down, I promise, because I didn't want to mess it all up. But
you'll forgive her. Late. She is on painkillers, y'all.
I am. I'm doing the best. I'm doing the absolute best I can. But yeah, so the WPSL folded in late 2011, and then following that year, the National Women's Soccer League, the WSNL, I can't even talk anymore, NWSL, was launched.
You know what my favorite, you know what my favorite thing about soccer is? Like the thing that has taken me the longest to unravel are the acronyms. There are so many acronyms.
They deliberately set everybody up that has had any kind of self-injury to completely fumble over themselves and completely fail.
Well, the one thing I do think is really important to add here is, you know, in the early 70s when they finally passed Title IX. Right.
Yes.
You had
what is, for the listeners out there who do not know, God, what really? Is Title IX? Is this the ninth title that the women have won? I wouldn't put it past them at the clip they're going at. They will get there eventually. The men will ever will, but that's another story.
Okay, so Title IX, according to Wikipedia, is the most commonly used name for landmark federal civil rights law in the United States that was enacted as part of the Education Amendments in 1972. It prohibits sex-based discrimination in any school or other education program that receives funding from the federal government. So what that means is all of a sudden, all of these colleges, all of these high schools, all of these, you know, all of these school athletic programs, they were legally required to fund women's sports. And that's not something that was even a thought in anybody's head that, oh, we should have a women's soccer team while we have a men's football team. And soccer wound up playing a really big role in this because and I'm not exactly sure of all the specifics around it, but I know like you can only offer as many scholarships benefits on a college level to men as you offer to women. Right. So all of a sudden you now have this explosion of growth in women's team sports, because those were the fastest ways to make up the difference in available scholarships. So then you're getting funding for women's basketball and you're getting funding for women's soccer, because these were sports that were
relatively, you're saying these institutions were incentivized.
Yes. Legally, you would not be able to award scholarships to football players if you were not awarding equivalent numbers of scholarship, not necessarily dollar amounts, but equivalent numbers of scholarships
Female
athletes.
Right. And that wasn't from without significant pushback, because while they were incentivized to do so, they were also they didn't like the fact that they were being forced into doing that either.
Oh, certainly
there was
not.
There was a significant, I mean, the amount of, you know, the amount of misogyny and the labor disputes and the wage gap and everything that women's soccer has dealt with since it began is all because in the beginning they were forced into doing it. Pushback is putting it lightly.
I would assume we have four women here tonight. Mm-hmm. Pushback is something y'all have experienced, I'm sure, not just with the game, but in your own lives. And like, that's probably a theme. It's not like Title IX was passed. Sweetness and light, equality for all.
No, as women, we generally, we experience pushback when we go to Target. It does, you know, it's in every aspect of your life as a woman. And it's just so, I don't want to say it's something that you learn to live with, but it is something that you learn to deal with on every aspect and on every level. So the female soccer pioneers had to deal with that too.
So we have four stars on the crest, right, for the U.S. women's national team. And I think that's like all down to Title IX, right? Mm-hmm. We have invested in women's sport going back years, whether people did it willingly or not willingly. We have invested in women's sport, and there's been a gap with Europe and the rest of the world not investing in women's sport over the years. Mm-hmm. And we were able to run the table for so long. Mm-hmm. And then now we're starting to see that investment flow into the other federations and seeing more competition. So we're like, oh, what's up with the U.S. women's national team? And like, we're struggling and whatnot. U.S. women's national team is not struggling. The U.S. women's national team is seeing everyone else catch up in the amount of investment that's in women's sport.
100%.
That's correct.
And
do you feel then that Europe took a little bit longer to catch up because of the lack of something like Title IX, right? Where was Europe relying more on just people to, quote, do the right thing? And not being almost forced into it via legal means?
Well, Europe was saying that women ought not to do this sort of thing, right? Right. So they were taking the opposite.
Yes, they were wagging their finger.
Yeah.
So. Back in the kitchen.
I mean, good old fashioned sexism comes in right there.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it was banned in the FA. The FA banned women's soccer from 1921 to 1970. So you're talking about, 51 years where they were just like, no. And this is European, this is English soccer, in its entirety, that we, as we know it now, as we, and I'm sure some of the other members of the LGBTQ community that are listening right now would probably attest that sometimes it feels like America has actually now, or that Europe has now has exceeded America, especially when it comes to certain, acceptances of us as players and as people. So it's interesting how they banned it entirely for 51 years, but now I feel like now that they're catching up, they could actually surpass us in some of the just the acceptability of it.
Could that be a good thing for this country though? Like kind of, competition
for sure.
Competition is a good thing. Whether that's on the pitch and you're competing for a spot, or countries are now competing for, to
who can be more inclusive,
that next step. Why are we in that moment now? Why are things different now than it feels like it took a long time. We've been taking baby steps, little steps. And that's great. It feels like now we're taking big steps here, leaps, if you will. Why? What's going on now?
Yeah, why didn't it work in, 2010 or 1999? Why is it working now? What do you think, Angel?
I think there's a lot more ways to watch. You're not necessarily pinned down to a local channel to be
one
able
channel
to show it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can watch it on YouTube, you can watch it on TikTok, you can watch it. There's multiple ways for people, not even to watch full games, but to connect with snippets of games on Twitter, or X, whatever you call it now, Facebook or Instagram. You can see little bits of players and you can start getting to know players even off the pitch. And so the familiarity with the players and the teams and the games and the brands that come with those. People are out buying jerseys of teams that they have never seen play, or, the whole culture, the whole footballing culture is getting more popular. So it just puts a lot more eyes and a lot more interest in the game. And if you've been around long enough to know, people may not have pre-Atlanta United, when anything was happening, on a large scale here with football, but you would go to the World Cup when the World Cup was here, those bar or the one bar or the couple of bars that were showing the World Cup were packed full. So there was some interest in watching from, the groups that were interested in football. You have your expats or people in the Latin community, or folks that grew up with the game, and they would get people involved. I mean, I remember when I first moved here, I had two football friends, one guy named Michael and my friend Javier, who I'm still really good friends, lives around the corner from me, and went to the World Cup with them in 1994.
That's incredible.
We used to watch him on videotape.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
So Shannon, what do you think? What about women? What about women's sports? Women's soccer is working now? Like, is it just access to, visual medium, or is there
the world
something
changing
else going on here with how the world views
is
people?
Yeah. Is the world changing? Is Atlanta changing? Is it all cities? What do you think?
Those are really big questions, right? Like, I don't.
Well, yeah. I don't know. We're not going to ask small questions here on the five aside. No, right. We're going to put you entirely on the spot and make you give. I want you to give a valedictorian speech. Now, come on.
Yes, please be give us a concise answer about why women are having a really big moment in across sports, across even outside of sports, you know, in the political landscape, everywhere. Like, it feels like this is different. Why?
I like the game, and I like, you know, maybe it's just that, like, not every foul is an opportunity for, like, your Oscar debut performance sure. in the women's game. That might be a bit of it. I mean, there's every bit as much quality and speed, and I hate that I have to, like, even like stipulate that, right? There's super high quality in the NWSL. Like, if we look at it, the NWSL is the top league in the world versus MLS, all being fair, it's not top five. It's not the same crispness of play. And so we can see really high quality players right here at home watching the NWSL. To be fair as well, there are women that can play as out queer women in sports, mm-hmm. but there are no men that play as out queer men in sports. And that just speaks to the different environment that you get as a fan and in that environment. It's a more welcoming fan culture. And I'm not saying that, like, the fan culture that we've built here in Atlanta is not welcoming as a queer woman, but it's just different, right? Like, when something comes up, it's the people that are anti that are being questioned and pushed out of the women's game. It's not the people that come out that are like in the men's game. If people come out, that's a career limiting maneuver, and it's sad, but it just shows you there's a different environment there. So as far as what works for me, that's part of where my interest lies too.
Mm-hmm. I think you make a really great point here about the equity of women's soccer, right? Women's soccer is played exactly the same as the men's game. There's no differences. There's no different the only difference in the uniform is that women had to wear white shorts, which was dumb as fuck. Can we just talk about how dumb that was, that they only just now changed the rule to not wear white shorts in NW? Sorry. Anywho. Yeah. But
no, okay. That's part of the history of the game. Like, I'm going to segue in another one of my fun facts here. In 2004, FIFA president Sepp Blatter, who we all just loved so much, suggested that women footballers should, quote, wear tighter shorts and low cut shirts to create a more female aesthetic. To attract male fans.
He wanted them to dress like Hooters waitresses.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Pretty much. This is the man that demanded his cat have his own apartment.
Yeah. He literally said he literally wanted to put the women specifically on display. He said he had absolutely no issue whatsoever with selling women's bodies as part of the sport. That's another part of his quote, is that he had absolutely no problem with that.
You know, it's really crap. But, like, the other great point that you made, Shannon, is that, you know, the NWSL is a tier one league. You could put the NWSL as the equivalent of the Premier League right mm-hmm. now. And we're going to talk about other global leagues in a minute. But, like, I think that's really amazing, right? That the equity in terms of the level of play in, you know, in terms of the women's game versus the men's game, the strategies are the same. The formations are the same. There's no less contact. There's no, you know, oh, we had to dumb this down for the girls, right? No. Like, there's none of that. And then also, at least in this country, when, you know, you talk about, like, the quality of what you get to see, mm-hmm. you know, 100%, you're getting the top quality of football in this country with our professional leagues and our national team, or at least what used to, you know, we're rebuilding right now. But I mean, you know, it's very easy.
It's a transition moment.
Yeah, but I think it's very easy. You know, I think you're not wrong in saying that's why it's easier to latch on to women's professional soccer right now.
And I also think that it's easy to latch on when using the U.S. women's national team as an example. It's easy to latch on when you're doing well and you're winning. People like watching that. I think
absolutely.
If we were losing all the time and we never won World Cups and we would not have as many people, right?
The United States is on the forefront of so many winning sports as a national team specifically. So when you take so if you want to get people involved, show them the wins, right? Atlanta United was the same way, by the way.
Yeah,
you know, it was 100%. Very, very easy for people to get involved and want to come to the games early on because we were doing so well. So if you take the United States in a sports level on a national front, and you're saying, look at what we can do, it's going to attract a lot of people to anything.
And I think that's why the rest of the world is largely catching up to the USA right now, 100%. Because they have been shown that if you invest in a good product, like good things will happen.
So what is going on? What is going on over there, Angel? What's going on over there these days? Like,
before we move on to that, I want to make a point about something that Angel, everybody here brought up that was really interesting about how the women are now getting on more equal footing with their male counterparts. I think there's an opportunity for the women to lead. Specifically in a way we were talking about how it was maybe a more, I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but an environment where women can play as out players, right? Mm-hmm. Less so for the men. I mean, I know there are a couple, including one down the Australian League who proposed to his boyfriend on the pitch, I believe that was a few weeks ago, but it's not a regular thing and it's becoming more of a regular thing. If women can lead the way on this, perhaps that will change more in the men's game, because I'm sure there are more male players that are still in the closet, as it were, and haven't felt comfortable coming out. Maybe women have an opportunity to change things on the men's side of that.
I hope so. I think they kind of already are. I don't think that we could go without that. That's got to be somewhat helpful. I expect to see just as many men tomorrow or on Saturday as women going to the game. And I know personally that I've said this a couple different times on the pod, when I even go to an Atlanta United match, I feel more comfortable as an openly, as an openly gay woman, which is two things right in there in and of itself, two minorities. I feel more comfortable going to a soccer match than I do feel when I go to any other sporting match. That has a lot to do with Atlanta United's culture and the environment. But for some reason, soccer just feels a little bit more accepting. And so I think that the women are already, I think they've just got to already be doing that. There's no way that other queer men aren't looking at this game. Yeah, anybody.
So Shannon, you've been to a bunch of NWSL matches, right? And I know you've traveled quite a bit to follow your beloved Thorns.
one of the best looking kits in the game.
It's true, and it has been for a while. No, it has been for a while. They've been tip top for quite a minute.
It looks good. Shout out to San Diego. Their shirts this year are very very nice as well.
So I mean, what does it feel like to go to an? We don't get to do that here. So what does it feel like to go to an NWSL match? Is it just as welcoming as what you see here at Atlanta United? Is it more? Do you see a lot of like daddy daughter dates, you know, kind of thing? I'm just curious, like,
or maybe dad son dates, hopefully too.
Yeah, it could be. It should be. It felt like a queer space to me, to be honest. Like, I walked in and I'm like, this is welcoming. This is where I need to be. Like, these are my people here. I don't know. Like, that was how I felt in the supporters section the first time I went to a Thorns game there. And after the goals scored, and I see like dozens of pride flags waving in the supporters section. And I'm like, this is a queer space. This is.
Do you think that that's because you were in Portland, or do you think that that's because that's the way the NWSL just kind of being at that kind of match made it feel? Because Portland being a very accepting city, you know, versus maybe somewhere else that isn't quite so accepting.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I definitely think that like there's probably a landscape to it amongst other NWSL teams. Mm-hmm. I went to the NWSL championship in 2022 and we had a, you know, we had a hosting party there or a pre-party there that was at a gay bar. And so it was like, it's just that space.
Right. Right? All your people.
It's my people.
Yeah. I just wonder if a place like, you know, Kentucky, where they have Racing Louisville, if you would feel as
up the racing.
Yeah, I know. I said that specifically for Glenn, but at the same time, Kentucky, not exactly, you know, traditionally considered one of the most accepting states of, you know, of women or queer, the queer community, as it were. So I wonder how it feels there to attend the match. I wonder how it feels to be a woman on that team there, or going to play there as a team traveling to that city. I don't know. And I'm not trying, please don't.
Oh yeah.
Understand. Well, I'm not trying to knock Kentucky or any of the other fans that are out there. I'm just wondering, based on it geographically, if that's an impact.
I think you're going to find that it attracts folks, and that you're going to, in those in those cities, that's where you're going to find the people, right? Women's soccer in general tends to attract people that are accepting and whatnot.
Exactly.
And
perfect.
There are safe places all over the country, right? I don't think just because it's a red state that you can't find community, that you can't find
Georgia
safe spaces.
Good
right
point. Yeah,
exactly. We're a blue island here in Atlanta, but
yeah, we forget. Go OTP. Right. It is a red state.
Not necessarily. But, Gwinnett but County is blue. Thank you very much. That is where I live. Gwinnett County is blue.
I'm talking OTP.
Oh, right. Right. Right.
Yeah, come
keep
on.
Going out. I know. But no, it's no. That's a very good point. That that it does. Well, it brings that in.
Yeah. I think that's a great answer to the question too, because, you know, we talk about why is it working now? Well, it's working now because it does create a safe space for anyone to go and kind of just, you know, express themselves in a sports sense. And people love sports. Like that's, we've been doing sports since the dawn of time in some way, shape or form. So, you know, knowing that there is an outlet where you can go and feel safe and comfortable and welcome, regardless of, you know, whatever affiliation expression you have, that has real value to it. And there are, you know, in a lot of respects, the way that, you know, the country is from, you know, a lot of other different opposing forces and things like that, those spaces are becoming, you know, kind of hard to find. So it's nice to know, okay, this is by default, this is a place I can go and hang and have a good time and be around people who aren't going to judge me.
That sort of cocoon, you know, that sort of space is probably common with other sports like women's basketball or women's softball or women's, you know, cycling, whatever. Anywhere, any women's sports is probably going to have that same sort of accepting feel around it within the community there. You know what I mean? It's only when you kind of step out of that into the broad sports picture where you see a lot of pushback.
I think, yeah, and just as an athlete myself, most of my life, I also work in a community that's heavily male dominated, and I oftentimes describe it as like you have to work twice as hard to get, you know, half as far, and I think that probably translates into professional women's sports because you do have to work twice as hard to get half as much accomplished. And with that, everyone else around you is doing the exact same thing. Every single player that you're with has done and struggled the exact same amount. And I think that that just inherently makes a community feel. It's contagious, you know, well, it just spreads.
Look at what happened. And we don't have to go down the big rabbit because that's a whole separate rabbit hole. But look at what happened when the U.S. national team went for pay equality. pay equity, right?
Yeah. That's another episode.
That's another episode.
That's a whole other episode.
It's a whole other episode. But
an hour on that alone.
Right. That was a big thing. And that sort of spilled over into other things where other teams.
Absolutely.
Were like, hey, hold on.
Not a bad thing. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that was that's a catalyst for, you know, why the women's game is starting to grow and get more recognition on a global level. Right. Like we look and see what's going on in Europe with how the, you know, big clubs, and I mean big spending clubs, like your biggest names in the world are now making equitable investments on the women's side. Angel, do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely happening. I mean, one of the things in Europe, obviously we have the Women's Super League there. What is it? I just lost track.
The WSL?
The WSL.
So, thank you.
See, it's the acronyms again. They kill you.
Which is basically the Premier League of England.
The women's side of the Premier League.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. Yep, sure.
And they have had huge, huge investments there. And I think...
Especially in just the last 5 years. Yeah. I mean...
60% increase.
60%. That's gigantic.
Year over year. I mean,
yeah.
It's the league's been around for a little while
since 2010.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the past few years, now we're really starting to see, like, we talk about small steps and then big steps, mm-hmm. and this acceleration that it's on right now.
Yeah.
You feel that it has to do with the Lionesses, largely.
Yes.
At least,
I think 1,000%, my beloved Lionesses. When the Lionesses won the Euros, I mean, during that whole campaign of the Euros, but when they won the Euros and the men lost the Euros,
it was the women who brought football home.
It was the women that brought football home, and they didn't sing that stupid song beforehand, the Jinxy song. They did not sing that.
They sure sang it at the press conference afterwards, dancing on the table as well as they should.
Oh no!
You betcha. That was a great moment. But
seriously, what a fantastic moment! And let me tell you, it was almost like a rocket ship took off when they won the Euros, because immediately clubs were starting to invest. Teams were starting to, people were starting to invest. And let me tell you, I went right after they won the Euros, I went to Wembley to see the world champion U.S. women's national team take on the European champion Lionesses. And that ticket at Wembley sold out Wembley in 3 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds right. That tracks.
And it was incredible. And the whole place was filled. You couldn't buy a ticket. And let me tell you what I think is so interesting about that. I went to that match with all guys. One of my friends that has Tottenham season tickets. Actually, three of them have Tottenham season tickets. All these
smart,
good people.
These old school football guys.
Mm-hmm.
They were all going to this match, and you walked in there, and it was just as many men as there were women in that match. And that's who's coming to these games. It's everybody now. And after that, you were able to see huge increases in the amount of programming for women or for girls.
We got broadcast revenues increasing, sports deals
in schools,
Sky Sports,
in schools like.
Yeah.
Mm.
Girls playing football in schools, because schools didn't have programs for girls to play football. They had the boys to play football, but not the girls. And now there's tons of programming, everything, academies, everything just jumped by leaps and bounds when the Lionesses won and it's continuing through the World Cup too.
And it's about to take even another, like, one of those monumentally big steps forward. The Super League, anyhow, it's got 12 teams right now. Your big ones, City, Chelsea, the good Chelsea, Arsenal, Man U, Liverpool, Tottenham, Aston Villa, Brighton, Leicester, Everton, your hammers, your irons, and Bristol City. And now this has been run by the FA.
Yeah.
You know, the same right. football association same, that runs the men's game.
And the same FA that banned it for 50 years.
Yeah, right.
And now they've come back around and right. they are into it in a big way.
Well, now they will no longer oversee the women's side of it. Now, an independent organization, a NUCO, which is headed up by Nikki Doucette, former investment banker and Nike executive, is going to oversee both the top flight and the championship side of the women's game. And it's basically a move aimed at addressing, you know, we talked about this on a previous Five-A-Side, the specific needs of female athletes.
Yep.
And it's a recognition that, you know, a huge organization like the FA that's focused on like 20 tiers of male football, you know, may not be the best organization to handle two female leagues. So it's good to see this recognition that, you know, they need their own thing. They need their own deals, their own board, all of that. And it can't just be like folded into, you know, the men's side of things.
Right. Let me tell you something that is just shows you sort of how big this has grown in, mm-hmm. in the UK. The Lionesses just got their own tube line named after them.
Really?
What?
Yes, they have a Lionesses line now.
And for the uninitiated, tube line, Subway.
So
over in the UK,
They didn't name that after the men's team.
Well, no.
I mean, you know what I mean. And in England, like the men's teams are
the Lions. They're the three. Well, lions. They are the Lionesses,
right? But they are, you know, they're the Premier League. They're the teams,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
The Lionesses are national treasures.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And I believe they're even building a statue of them outside of Wembley.
Build the statue.
That's awesome. It is interesting from an economic standpoint too, that like right now, one of the hottest sports investment tickets in town is tier one women's professional soccer. Yeah. Like if you look, you know, there's been a whole bunch of buying and selling going on over at Angel City FC in Los Angeles because they had a really large ownership group with like 21 people, and there's just, it's too many people. And so, you know, the amount of return on investment that people who got in to the NWSL on the ground floor are starting to see is 200-300% growth. And there are a lot of people that, you know, want in to soccer in this country. And they're finding that women's top tier professional soccer is a really good entree at a still somewhat affordable cost by comparison to a lot of the other pro sports team. When you're starting, you know, talking about, you know, expansion of the NHL and that costing $1 billion just from the get-go, people who want to get involved in professional sports from an economic standpoint, they're coming in and they're putting their money on the women's games, and not just soccer, but volleyball and basketball. Yes. And now you've got Ice Cube running a whole separate side, you know, three v three league for women. So
which he just offered what's her name?
Caitlin Clark
a spot.
Yeah, I don't think he offered her enough money. Did you see it? It wasn't very much. I don't think it was enough. I think it was like 5.3 million or something like that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
But you're right. It's smart money right now, right? Like it's smart investments. You're getting in at the ground floor of this thing, relatively speaking. Still,
well, the only growing. Still
I mean, the Wave just sold for $120 million, though, right? So it's not cheap to get into this league.
No,
anymore.
But if you are going to make this entirely about money, and you're going to make it about a business, and you're going to say, look, you can make money on the women's game. Make it, it's going to be appealing. And like you said, what, 60% growth? You said year upon year
from 21, from post-COVID.
Yeah, okay. Sure. That's it, 120 million. What, 60% growth. What do you, I don't even know how to do that kind of math. Let's just say, I mean, that's insane. So if you're going to market it that way, do it. It's a really good way to grow the game. If you're going to make it about money, then do it. Fine. Invest and bring it and keep it going. It's going to work because it's work. I mean, look at what we've got.
The Women's Super League has a stated goal of surpassing $1 billion in revenue. And they got a long way to go. It's 40 to 60 million right now. Yeah. There's no reason to think it won't get there. It will.
No, it will.
They're filling stadiums still.
Yeah, that's right. I'm really disappointed that we haven't gotten an announcement yet about Atlanta getting a team, but I like to think that we'll get there. But at least what I do like is all of the Jennifer, all of the other teams, you know, all of the semi-pro teams and stuff that we've got going. I know how excited you are about that. Do you think that we're going to get another team? You think we're going to get an NWSL team?
I mean, I don't know if it'll be NWSL, because right now the deal on the table is
USL.
What is,
okay.
Roswell,
yeah,
USL
Super League. So
that's right.
Doug Roberson had a really good interview with I cannot remember his title for the life of me, but basically the real estate director and the guy who runs the deputy CEO of the USL, where you know, he talked about the commitment that the city of Roswell has made to bring in a USL Super League side. And so the letter of intent was signed, and that and basically what they said is there's an agreement in place to build a minimum capacity 10,000 seat stadium with a women's tier one team as the anchor of that stadium.
Okay.
So it's not, the women's team is the star here, not the discussed USL championship side. So that's super exciting. And, you know,
we're not in Roswell, I would be even more excited.
Yes. Yeah. It's a long way. That's a long drive.
I feel like we need to give these teams like all of the tools to be successful. And I feel like if you don't have them on public transportation, you're doing the team a disservice.
Yeah, location is a big part of it. I mean, that's how it is for me, just getting out to Atlanta United 2 games. It's
exactly my
freaking
point.
Haul.
You get tens of people to Atlanta United
2
games.
Y'all have to remember when you're talking about Roswell, you have to remember Roswell is Fulton County. Roswell is MARTA connected. There are
some
trains.
Trains.
There are buses.
What, Shannon?
Trains and buses.
You can get buses.
Yeah.
Yeah. You take North Springs all the way up to Roswell. There's a way to do it. I'm slowly reconciling that's what I'm going to have to do. Yeah.
Shannon, if I have to come and pick you up to get you to get you up to all the women's soccer fun that we're going to have 10 minutes from my house.
Well, public transportation or not, like it's still not the easiest thing to get out there even if you have a car.
Traffic.
So yeah, it's just,
and especially if it's on a weeknight, you know what I mean? Right. It's just a pain, you know.
I mean,
I'm not saying that I won't go.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's not going to work.
I probably won't play every game. Yeah. I had season tickets the first season for the twos when they were at Cool Ray, and it was like, I can't come out here on Thursday night.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
If it was,
you know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? You know what's getting to be a tough ticket? Y'all know what's getting to be a tough ticket? The She Believes Cup.
I know. We're getting so close. We're getting so close to getting that sellout.
The puns come from me. The segues
come from Jennifer. Yeah, that's true.
Thanks for bringing that back around. We are going down another.
We're trying.
That's what happens. Right. That's what I told you. We warned you. So what is it?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, what's really cool, what's really cool about about She Believes, right, is this is really kind of the first tournament that, you know, first FIFA tournament that kind of kicked off this increase and expansion of women's global competitive soccer tournaments. We now have a CONCACAF W Gold Cup.
That's right.
We are going to get a women's World Club Cup, I believe, if I read correctly.
Club World Cup. Yep.
Club World Cup. For the women's. Because there's finally enough global competition where we're not going to go out and drub Thailand 13-1 every time they show up, right? So it's great to see the growth in equity. But you know, this cup matters for a reason, and primarily, like, that all starts around the She Believes Summit. Kat, you want to talk about the She Believes Summit for a minute?
So the She Believes Summit, which originally took place virtually in 2021, is a major, major component of programming around the tournament itself. Its purpose is to empower young women and girls involved in the game in the three core pillars of the She Believes, which is confidence, career, and community. It includes panels, fireside chats, breakout sessions with players, designed to provide hands-on experience and tools for success. Different programming, female speakers from women in STEM all the way to professional athletes. So it's a huge outreach into the community. It's not just about soccer. It's a way to reach young women in the community and bring them in to a lot of other things that have to do with women's professions. So it's not just about soccer. It's about, women being successful in so many different avenues. That may have been how, the She Believes Cup, which started in the U.S.'s national team run up to the World Cup in 2015. That's where the cup started. But the summit, what the cup has brought is the summit, which is now giving them the opportunity to continue to reach out and just broaden it on such a higher level. And I think that is just amazing that, that's what this continues to do is it just, you start with one area and you just keep it rolling. And that's huge.
It's something I love about this sport. You don't get this. I'm not knocking other sports. I love baseball. I love basketball. I love it all. I love hockey. Please bring a franchise here.
bring big one back.
we are ready for Blue Land. But you don't get this kind of, so, and not everybody's a fan of it, the shut up and dribble crowd, I'm sure will be less than pleased that there are social movements tied to this sport, but it's really cool to see a sport be a catalyst for change and whatever change you want to see.
Just remember, it's that forcing it,
right.
Forcing you to accept it that people don't like.
It's sort of a head fake.
Yeah.
Right. Head fake learning, head fake changing, where it just, these changes just kind of happen. You look back and then a few years later, like, oh, look at the landscape we're in now.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. How did that start?
Yeah. Look back there and see where we were.
Some women were kicking a ball around.
Yeah.
And now we have what we have.
And now we have STEM outreach, STEM programs and communities where there weren't.
Correct.
Thank you very much to women's soccer that just went out there and dribbled. Thank you very much for doing that. So, yeah.
Right.
So I know we're all like super, super jazzed that the U.S. women's national team is here for the first time in what, like 10 years? It's been like 10 years since.
Yeah, a little less. 2016, they were at the Dome before it imploded. Men's team was there too. I saw them lose to Jamaica.
But I mean, huge tournament wise, what, 96 even?
Prior to. It doesn't happen a lot.
It doesn't happen much. You're right. But it doesn't happen often.
I have to say the thing I am most excited about.
Oh yeah.
For She Believes.
Yeah. Who is it? It's Martha. Jennifer?
We're going to get to see Martha.
Martha Angel.
We ain't talking
red lipstick. I'm getting it out, baby.
That's right. We ain't talking about buses.
No,
we ain't talking about buses.
Not the bus, the woman, the myth, the legend.
I am so excited because I did not realize that she would be here.
No,
so
how would
let
we?
Me tell you, I am so excited to see her.
You gonna rush the field? Are you gonna come on? You gonna strip? You gonna rip?
Don't
you
oh
that.
My god, no! I'm up in the where this.
You're too high.
I will break my leg, but I will be. That's very exciting to hear.
It's so cool to be able to see legends like this from Canada, from Brazil, from USA, from Japan.
Yeah, this isn't just one game or one team. We get to experience four different teams. It's huge.
This is how you generate the interest. Little girls, little boys going to watch this game.
That's right.
You don't know. I guarantee you somebody in this record-breaking, it will be record-breaking crowd is going to have a professional career, is going to be giving an interview 10 years from now. Oh yeah, I was there for that. And it's all these players. You know what I'm saying?
I can't remember who
that's
it was.
The moment.
There was somebody though. I can't remember if it was on the Lionesses or if it was on the U.S. Women's National Team that somebody showed. Oh, it was Lauren James, I think, during the World Cup. They showed her as a little kid at being interviewed or playing, and then all of a sudden she's now on the pitch. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's.
That will happen again.
It will happen again.
This is how you do it. These things don't happen in a vacuum.
No.
Yeah, I went to the Lindsay Horan thing.
Signing
yesterday, meet and greet.
Oh, FedO. Yeah.
And there were some little kids behind me and three little girls, and her dad was just she's going to be a star. She's going to be a star. She can already, she's like 6 years old and she can already turn around and dribble down. And I was like, I believe it. If she's keeping going on.
If she believes, like, I believe it too. Like, it does happen. And we guarantee you.
I am a little bummed that we're getting Canada versus Brazil, but we're not getting a Quinn sighting. Because they got hurt, unfortunately. So
I'm kind of bummed that we're playing Japan only because I have that dope Japan jersey.
You can't wear that one.
You can't do it.
I was gonna. I would like. I could have done like. I could have worn my USA if we were playing another team, and then I could do a costume change. You know.
Nope, not this time. That one's gonna have to stay at home.
But all these teams, you know, Japan included, the game has evolved so much that they all have world class players that are playing for. Big teams like club. Japan, you've got Hinata Miyazawa, I believe I'm pronouncing that right.
That sounds right.
Plays for Manchester United.
Yep.
All of these teams, it's not like Jennifer was saying a little bit ago, where it's just kind of whoever you can drudge up to form a team. It's so much different than it was 10 years ago. And USA is not going to walk through Japan. Japan's been a bit of a nemesis for us over the years, whether it's been in World Cup finals or friendlies or what have you, they're going to provide stiff competition tomorrow. And the USA needs that. This is a preparation tournament for.
Yeah, I was telling people that when we were talking about when I was talking about She Believes to people, and they're like, yeah, I don't know, and I'm like, these are four top class World Cup teams.
Yes.
That are going to be under our roof, in our town, in our home, and you're not going? And it's not even an expensive ticket. It's like...
No, relatively speaking,
Listen, everybody out there, if you are not going to this, you are missing a huge opportunity because you may not see this again.
And trust me, you can't afford to go to Copa America. Right. You can't afford to go to Copa America, but you're not wrong. We are getting four of the top 10 world ranked FIFA clubs in our home building. Like, when do you get to do that outside of actually going to a World Cup?
And you get to see two matches for basically the price of one. You know what I mean? For a very
doubleheader. Yep.
You know what I mean? It's
reigning gold medalist Canada national team.
Right. It's like, it's insane. If you like soccer at all, you're men or women, you're insane to miss the She Believes Cup. It's gonna
be Shannon, I got a question for you. What is up with the Brazilian women not having last names? Why is that a thing?
I don't know.
Give me some exotic theory as to why, and also should I change the way that I spell my name to...
Is that a thing? I honestly don't know with Brazilian, players.
It is a thing. Oh, yeah. Well, because Marta plays with the Orlando Pride, and there's another Brazilian, a younger Brazilian player coming up behind her. I forget, I'm blanking on
Adriana,
her
right?
It's only one name, though.
It's Adriana is the per, I think
Adriana.
It's
Adriana.
Yeah.
You're just going to be like Madonna or Cher. They're just legends, right?
Exactly. It's just that they're legends. And they're like, you know what? This is the only this is the only name I need now. I don't need any others.
You'll know my name by the end of this.
Exactly.
They'll all be our GGs. But I thought that was really interesting. There are 15 players in the Brazilian women's national team pipeline squad. Not all of them got called up. 15 players that go by their first name only. And I wonder if that is because Marta did it first, or if the, you know, because it is a thing in Brazil. You've got Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, you know, pick up that, you know, there's several, you know,
is
I don't,
it
you know,
possible they have very similar last names.
According to goal.com, in short, there's no specific cultural reasoning for certain Brazilian footballers choosing to go by just one name when most Brazilians do so anyway. Typically, it is due to the fact that most Brazilian full names are complicated and long, which led footballers to shorten their names or choose a nickname,
especially when
in order to be more easily recognized. So, that's about as exotic as the explanation comes. It's very, you know, what is that? Occam's razor? The simplest answer
is usually the right one.
Yep. So there you go. It's just y'all got long names and we can't pronounce
them. I'm just going to be honest. I like my explanation better.
Let's go with that.
So the USA Japan matchup is really interesting because USA and Japan have quite a history. If you may not recall, Japan totally upset the US in the 2011 Women's Cup in a shootout.
Oh, I remember.
In a shootout. And then in 2015, the US got some redemption.
Yeah, we did.
A big redemption, if I recall.
Big redemption. Mm-hmm. And this past year, Japan had a better World Cup performance than the United States did. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, both teams were knocked out by Sweden.
Well, we all have the score.
Fuck you, Sweden.
We all have the score to settle with the Swedes.
It's a good thing, though. It's a good thing because it's not predictable anymore. That's right. There's competition, real competition.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of talent on Japan, and I think a lot of, you know, the casual fan is going to sleep on how competitive this match is going to actually be, because this is the last non-friendly thing that both teams are going to do before they go to the Olympics. Every pool in the Olympics is a pool of death. There's only 12 teams. Every single team that qualified for the Olympics is really, really good. There were no gimmies. There were no gimmies in that draw. So I think it'll be a really interesting and very hard fought and competitive match, because you've got two teams that are, you know, you've got players on both sides that are trying to earn final roster spot.
You betcha. It's not just the teams, it's players fighting for time. I mean, it's 18 players on a roster for the Olympics. And, those are coveted spots.
Long injury delays coming back too, with Kat Macario and Mallory Swanson. Yeah. They've been out each of them for a year. They've got some club time in, but this will be their first back with the
Scored her first goal in like over a year.
Yeah, is Macario back with
the Red Stars?
Macario, is she back with her NWSL team too? Has she had a couple starts, or is
she is?
I want to say that I heard that she was at least coming back. Really,
she was playing for Lyon.
She played for Chelsea.
Yeah, she's at Chelsea now.
Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But she's just super dynamic to watch. Sometimes I actually just lose track of where everybody is because I focus on a player and I see highlights from a player as opposed to where they're playing. But yeah, there's a lot of competition on the U.S. women's team. And again, good competition. You know, pushes success.
Jennifer, do you want to move into maybe who we're excited?
I was just going to ask Shannon who Shannon was excited to see coming to She Believes. Like, who on the Portland Thorns roster are you just so stoked to see in person without having to fly all the way across?
Sophia Smith, Sam Coffey, Olivia Moultrie. I'm sad I won't see Becky Sauerbrunn here, but, you know, she's had a wonderful career. But there's some really bright stars coming up for the Thorns that are featuring heavily on the national team with some. Like I said, Sophia Smith, who scores goals for fun in the NWSL.
Such a beast.
And you've got Olivia Moultrie, who at the time she was signed was the youngest NWSL player ever signed to a contract. Is now 18 and is really, really stepping into her game. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Sam Coffey, who's playing a D-mid and just bossing around the field there.
Yeah, she's a beast too. Like,
do you think this is an audition for Moultrie, or do you think she's got a spot in the Olympics locked up?
The Olympics is so tough because of the small roster. If you had 23 players, I think she's on it. With 18, I do think she's competing for a spot.
Yeah. Angel, what about you? Who are you like super stoked to see?
I'm going with Crystal Dunn. Because I love her, you know. Yes. And
what color? Wait. What color will her braids be?
Red, white, blue.
Well,
they were blue. I'm thinking blue red for the World Cup.
I'm gonna go with red. I think red. I'm gonna go with red.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I am looking forward to seeing.
You want to weigh in? Should we have like a little betting pool as to what color Crystal Dunn's braids will be? Winner buys a round at the stadium.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'll take blue.
Yeah, I'm going red.
I'll go red. I'm going red.
Shannon's like not wanting to comment.
But maybe we don't buy a round at the stadium. Y'all, it's a long day. It's a doubleheader. Yeah. Pace yourselves.
Yeah.
Drink water.
Drink water. Drink
electrolytes.
What is it? What's the free drink water, you stupid what?
Yes.
Did you drink your water, you stupid,
stupid bitch.
Yes.
it's a long day. So
I'm also looking forward to seeing Mallory again coming back from injury.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
And she's kind of local now, you know. Kind of was local.
She's local by extension.
You know.
Yeah.
And Trinity. I like seeing Trinity and Sophia. There's a lot of I'm looking forward to seeing the whole thing.
I'm super excited to see some of the young players because they are the next generation, but being kind of one of the older schoolers, you know, watching since 1999, I want to see some of the veterans as well. It's just because we just don't get this opportunity very much, so I just want to see everybody. I literally am happy to see every single person on that team. Anybody who shows up, I'm happy that they're there.
Right.
That's you know, maybe that's a cop out, but it's true. I'm literally just happy to see every single person show up. Anybody from all four teams, they're in our city, they're playing in our, you know, in our bends, because, you know, let's be honest, it's
our home.
It's ours. It's not the Falcons.
Yeah, we own it.
It's just not.
I
we're the only ones that fill it.
That's right. Thank you very much.
I for one am super stoked to get a look at Jaden Shaw in person.
Yeah,
I
sure.
I really hope we see her get some time on the pitch because dude, she's really riding it right now. Mm-hmm. She is feeling her Wheaties, which is great. And you know, I
three goals, Gold Cup, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Three. Yep. He was on fire for the Gold Cup. So I'm stoked to see what she brings to the table. I am a really, really big Naomi Girma fan.
Yeah, you were really excited for Girma. I know you were. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Shannon, because I know she's a Gotham girl, but yeah.
Garma's for the wave.
Oh, did she?
Did she change? Oh,
no, so she's just not in the wave. She might have gotten an expansion drafted over there.
I don't know why I thought she played for Gotham, but that could have been. I thought she. I don't know. But
just means
she's wiped out. And for the age he's at for a defender, yeah. I mean,
just means you follow Garma on the national team.
What
did I just say? It's hard to keep track of sometimes where everybody is because you're looking at them on a national level as well as a domestic level. So it can be difficult to keep track of every single person.
I have changed my earrings. I have changed my earrings. I am wearing Alyssa earrings for this match and they are dope. And
listen there.
Yeah.
Boy, she's given, she's like Goose, right? She ain't giving up that spot.
No, she's not.
She looks fine.
Her performance in the W Gold Cup in both matches we talked about it on a pod before, but like I am still mind blown by that performance against Canada. Like, who does that? She stopped not one, not two, but three PKs and then stepped up and said, I'm going to do this because I don't trust all y'all to get it in the net. I'm going to do it myself.
Going anywhere.
No.
I really don't think so.
Clean.
Glenn, who are you excited to see coming up for this weekend? Like, who's revving your engine?
I'm happy to see Swanson back. I too am looking forward to Alyssa Nair. I don't think she's giving up that spot anytime soon. No. But number one on my list, and it's been number one on my list for a while, is Alex Morgan. She's my girl. She's been my girl for a while.
Do you want an Alex Morgan face tattoo? Because I have one.
I don't know if I'll go that far.
I have a temporary Alex Morgan face tattoo. I'm happy to give to the cause.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
If you want to, I'll put it on. Tattoo, or can it be?
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm not afraid. I'll do it.
I'm just really happy to have this opportunity, which is what it is. It's an opportunity, and like Angel was saying, y'all, man, you gotta take this. Hooker by crook, you got to get yourself there, get your kids there, get your friends there, because it's not, I mean, hopefully it will be more common occurrence in this city with U.S. soccer headquarters breaking ground very soon. And we'll see more of this, but don't take this shit for granted.
It's so know? Important. Don't just go to see the USA team, right?
No, stay for both.
As important and as wonderful as that is to see our national team, it is such an unbelievable opportunity to be able to see the other teams that we get to say too. So please stay for both games. You will not be disappointed.
You will kick yourself if you miss Marta and her red lipstick.
That's right.
I was just going to say, like, you may never get another opportunity to see Marta in green and blue
in person.
Gold.
That's like, right. This might be the actual end. So you take the opportunity that is being presented and fucking have fun, because it's going to be great.
And hey, speaking of opportunities,
what other fun is there?
There are a ton of fun opportunities to get all hype for this event, because, you know, there ain't no party like an Atlanta party.
That's and right. We tear it up.
We do. And we have waited a long, long time to drop a little Southern hospitality on this great nation of ours. So
I would just like to see everyone pace themselves.
Yeah, drink your water.
That's the mom side coming out. Jennifer's coming in with this energy of like, yeah, let's just blow it up. And Angel with the friendly reminder, responsibly so.
Yeah. Drink your water.
I want y'all to make it to the second game.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to see. There's a lot to take in. Have a good time, but remember it.
So the party's going to start on Friday night. You got a couple of different fun opportunities. You've got the American Outlaws official night before, all sorts of drink specials, and they've got a DJ, and that's going to be a big old party. That's going down from 6 to 10 at Fido Midtown. Our new friends over at the Bee House ATL are also having a women's Final Four watch party. So if you want one more look at Caitlin Clark, and then you want to, mosey on over to Fido or vice versa, that is going to be over at Eventide Brewing in Grant Park. And in case you haven't heard of them, the Bee House is kind of like a floating women's sports bar. So you may have heard about this women's sports bar trend that's been going on. There's a couple of places out in the Pac Northwest, but there are, in fact, bars dedicated to watching women's sports and getting women's sports on TV and giving people, I know, right? Novel concept.
Shocking.
But I bet most of you guys didn't know that we actually have a space like this here in Atlanta, because this organization is relatively new. And while they don't have like a permanent brick and mortar, they are running regular NWSL watch parties and other women's sports professional league watch parties. So they have a big Final Four watch party going on Friday night at Eventide. And then the big old main event on Saturday. Man, I hope you guys get some sleep. Like, don't party too hard Friday night, because this all is going down for breakfast. And, you know, like our friends say, you cannot drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So
start everything out right.
Drink a glass of water in between each drink.
That was my advice the last time. That was exactly where Jennifer and Glenn faltered on last Sunday at the Atlanta United match. They did not alter. They did not vary it with the water.
I am going to completely blame the whole concept of bottomless mimosa brunch on this. I just want to say that may or may not have been.
Turns out there is a bottom for you. Yeah. It's just the floor.
It's the floor that I hit. Anywho. So you've got a couple of different options for your pregame pleasure.
That's right.
The U.S. Soccer Federation is hosting a big old block party at Centennial Park starting at 9:30. I have no idea what exactly they're going to do with this block party, but I would imagine that there will be shenanigans and maybe some swag and, you know, things along those lines. And you can mix and mingle with soccer fans from all over the country who've come in for the match. If you felt charitably inclined, please make your way over to the soccer ball sculpture at Gate 1 with any soccer gear used, gently used, old supporter swag, whatever you got laying around. They are running a donation drive for, the Global Village Collective? But they'll be distributing.
I believe so.
Yeah. But they'll be distributing that to people in need who, you know, and kids who don't have equipment and things like that. So,
and they're looking for things, they're looking for soccer gear and also stuff that kids can wear after they play soccer. So if you have tracksuit or, you know, tracky bottoms or shirts or hats or something like that, they're also looking for that kind of stuff, but soccer gear mainly.
And finally, there is going to be a big old Atlanta style tailgate at the AJC lot, starting at 9 and going till about noon. The AJC lot, if you are unfamiliar with it, is directly across from State Farm Arena and just on top of like the CNN deck area. It's over there. So American Outlaws is going to be throwing down. They got $5 all you can eat. And yes, you should remember to eat something if you are going to drink bottomless mimosas or indulge in a breakfast beverage of your choice. And our friends at the Bee House will also be over there wearing bright pink, and they're going to have some donuts and some coffee and some other fun stuff. So yeah, you know, it's going to be super, super fun.
And the weather looks good.
Yeah, the weather.
Low 60s, a little breezy, maybe. Maybe bring an extra layer or so, but sunny.
Great. It's a great weekend for soccer. It's a great weekend for soccer in Soccer City, USA. Yeah, and
great weekend for this city. Great weekend for any fan of the game. It's going to be amazing.
And if you have not already gotten a ticket, I'm going to say it again now. Come on, Atlanta. Come on, Atlanta. We are so much better than Philly. Philly holds the record for a non-World Cup Olympic national women's national team soccer match with like just over 49,000 people, right? We're better than Philly.
Yeah. Did we opened up the top, didn't we?
Yeah, the third tier. The third tier is
open. So we ought to be able to sell those tickets. So
these tickets, like I said earlier, these tickets are not expensive. They're
incredibly reasonable.
$25 or some crazy price. I mean, they're super affordable. You could bring your whole family. I mean, and then we already know the concessions in the bins are cheap, so you know you can bring your whole family.
You got food all day, dinner's taken care of,
and make a really fun day of it, and it'll be great.
Memories for life. All right, I think that's gonna be about it. We're gonna be back for part two of this. We'll have its own show. We will not fold this into the Five Takes episode that we will need to do. Boy, there's a lot of soccer happening this weekend, good grief. But we will be back on recording on Sunday to recap Japan, US, also Brazil and Canada. And we're going to keep expanding on, you know, just the growth of women's sports fandom. And might have some other special guests on here as well. So thanks, everybody, for doing this. This is, I keep saying the word important, and I don't want that to be like a burden. You know, it's not like we're looking towards women to carry and move society forward or fight for these causes or whatever. I think that women have had to unfairly carry extra weight when maybe all that we want to do is just play a little footy sometimes.
That's right.
You know,
let everyone play,
but
let them play.
Everyone deserves a place to play.
What is happening here and what's happening around the globe with women's sports is important. And it's important that we keep supporting what these athletes are doing. You know, this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. We don't get to this moment just because. We get to this moment because people made choices, made sacrifices, you know, and all we have to do is buy a ticket, show up, sing some chants, drink water, you know.
Hey, you know what?
All right.
I'm super glad. Guess what? Glenn didn't cry.
He was close. Did you see it just now, though? You starting to get there. He was like, I don't want to say it's important because if I did bring tissues, cry.
I almost made myself cry. Good grief. Anyway, all right.
mad thank you to Angel and to Shannon for stopping by to Yak Soccer and its impact on our current state of being and all that good jazz. We love having you. So thank you. Can't wait to see this again.
Thank you very much.
To wrap it up and talk about more soccer things.
Good times.
Enjoyed it.
All right, y'all. We'll be back in a couple days. Thank you very much for listening.
Caca! Caca!
Hoodie-hoo!
I was anxiously waiting for something more than caca.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Kat.
No, not at all. Not at all. It was brilliant.
You still laugh, so that's what counts.
That's true. You're right.